Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of this world, our hearts may surely there be fixed, where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. The mother of a third grader named Mark received a phone call in the middle of the afternoon. It was the teacher from her son's school. The teacher began by saying, Mrs. Smith, something unusual happened today in class. Your son did something that surprised me so much, I thought you should know about it immediately. The mother began to grow worried. But the teacher continued, nothing like this has happened in all my years of teaching. This morning I was teaching a lesson on creative writing, and as I always do, I tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper. The ant works hard all summer and stores up plenty of food, but the grasshopper plays all summer and does no work at all. Then winter comes. The grasshopper begins to starve because he has no food, so he begins to beg. Please, Mr. Ant, you have so much food. Please let me eat too. Then I said, boys and girls, your job is to write the ending of the story. Your son, Mark, raised his hand. Teacher, may I draw a picture? Well, yes, Mark, if you like, but first you must write the ending of the story. As in all the years past, most of the students said that the ant shared his food through the winter, and both the ant and the grasshopper lived. A few children wrote, no, Mr. Grasshopper, you should have worked in the summer. Now I have just enough food for myself. So the ant lived and the grasshopper died. But your son ended the story in a way different from any other child ever. He wrote, so the ant gave all of his food to the grasshopper. The grasshopper lived through the winter, but the ant died. And he drew a picture at the bottom of the page. Mark had drawn three crosses. When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself, Jesus declares. Jesus here predicts his death. He's on the way to the cross. He has come to die so that we might live. He's about to enter into his glory. He will be raised up to die on the tree. And he pours out his life unto death, giving up it all. And in our gospel passage today, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. My brothers and sisters, you and I are these new lives. Amen? And these new lives are to bear witness to Jesus, the King. The Greeks came to Philip and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We'd like to meet him. In our own day, may those who orbit around our lives see Jesus in us. Like Philip in our story, we are to show them Jesus. And this means that our lives should follow in the footsteps of Christ, the Messiah, our Lord and Master. Therefore, let us learn today the way of the cross. The way of the cross and how to show them Jesus. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at John chapter 12, verse 20, on page 647. I don't see a lot of you opening your Bibles. Please do so. All right. Our passage begins right after the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The people are really into Jesus at this point of time. He's just raised his friend Lazarus from the dead in Bethany, less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. So naturally, everyone wanted to see him. Now, in our readings of this passage of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, we say, well, that's a nice story. Jesus is the Lord of life. He raised this guy back up from the grave. But we're not Jewish. So if we're Jewish, there's something bigger going on in this story.
You see, the Jewish people believe that after the third day, the soul departs from the body. So it's the fourth day that Jesus comes and raises Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus, according to the Jewish mindset, didn't just call forth Lazarus from the dead. He is the one that put the soul back into the body and called forth Lazarus from the dead. Okay? So the context is king. It's important to know why everyone is so astounded. It's not just that this guy was raised from the dead. That's marvelous. But in the Jewish mindset, Jesus put the soul back in the body and raised him. News about this miracle spread fast. But did the people really see Jesus for who he was? The Messiah. After all, the Palm Sunday road had been walked down before. Jeff Streit notes, four generations before Jesus was born, there was a man named Judah Maccabee. Have you heard of him? He was nicknamed the Hammer. Great nickname. And he was a fairly righteous man who was upset by the fact that the Syrians occupied the city of Jerusalem. He was angry about this, and he rallied an army of Jewish men to his side so that he would fight. And in 163 BC, he entered Jerusalem riding on a massive stallion, a war horse, and the people shouted and waved palms. And guess what they cheered? Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Judah was their hero, and many believed that he was the Messiah. When the people entered the city, they cleaned out the temple, burned incense, offered sacrifices, and lit a huge menorah that burned for 8 days. But eventually, Judah was killed in battle and buried. He certainly didn't live forever. You see, Israel wanted an earthly kingdom with them at the center of the world. Judah entered Jerusalem with palms and hosannas on a war horse, emphasizing great military strength. Jesus, however, entered Jerusalem with palms and hosannas on a donkey. And as he would tell Pilate just days later, his kingdom is not an earthly one. His kingdom is not of this world. But because he's raised Lazarus from the dead, and because he's come down the Palm Sunday road from the Mount of Olives, all eyes are on him. Even the eyes of some Greeks. For they come to Philip requesting, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So Philip grabs Andrew and they go to Jesus and they ask about this. Notice Jesus' response here. It's not really like the direct answer that we're hoping. His response summed up is this: if you want to see me, if you want to see me, behold the glory of the cross. Do you think this was the answer the Greek guys wanted? If you want to see me, behold the glory of the cross. After all, the Passover was near and the lamb was to be slaughtered. These Greeks want to see Jesus, and Jesus responds with the tree. This is striking. It really is. The cross was a stumbling block to the Jews, for cursed is anything that hangs from a tree. The cross was folly and foolishness to the Greeks. Yet you truly can't see Jesus unless you see what he did on that cross. Muslims affirm a lot about Jesus' life. Did you know this? The virgin birth, even the second coming. It's not Muhammad that judges the world, it's Jesus. But they don't see the cross. In fact, they deny it. Secular people in our own day may recognize the significance of Jesus' teachings, but guess what? They don't see the cross. Jesus has come to die, my friends. And from his death, a plentiful harvest will come. You see, Jesus is the suffering servant of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, a passage that many Jewish people have no answer for to this day, confirms that the servant, when his life is made an offering for sin, will have many descendants. Or in Jesus' words, the seed that dies, the kernel, will produce a plentiful harvest. You see, Jesus is the seed that must die. This is the very reason why he came. Yet unlike Judah Maccabee, Jesus lives forever. He was raised victoriously from the dead on the third day. Amen? Amen. You got to be excited about this. For as he said, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for this life in this world will keep it for eternity.
Jesus lives and reigns forever, world without end. And the plentiful harvest which comes from the death of the seed is to look like Jesus. Or more aptly put, our lives are to look like Jesus, his death and his resurrection. Such is our union with Jesus. And we are to show Jesus in every season. In times of joy, in times of sorrow, in times of planting, in times of harvest, in times of peace, in times of war. We are to show them Jesus. Are you excited about this? Jesus empties himself. He pours out himself like a drink offering to his Father. Father, bring glory to your name, he prays in our passage. And the Father's voice speaks for the third time. The first time was at Jesus' baptism, where the Father says, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and you bring me great joy." The second time is on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And now for the third time, the Father declares, "I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again." Jesus is the precious Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He will be glorified, and the Father will be glorified when Jesus is lifted up. But the crowd doesn't just have a seeing issue with Jesus, they have a hearing one. Some say the voice is thunder, some say it is the voice of an angel. They do not see, neither do they hear what God is up to. But Jesus will be glorified. He will be lifted high. He will be raised on that cross, making spectacle of Satan and the powers of evil. And even though Jesus will die, he will be vindicated. God will raise him up on the third day. This is our faith. But the people cannot fathom the glory of the cross, even though the cross was always with them throughout their history as a people. And this is phenomenal. When the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, God had them mark the doorpost with blood. What does that form? It forms a cross. When the people of Israel were trekking through the wilderness, the formation of their camp was the formation of a cross. And if you had a bird's eye view of the temple looking down, you would see the outer court of the temple formed a cross. So the cross was always there. Even hundreds and hundreds of years before the Romans invented it as an execution. The people's eyes were blinded by scales. Their ears were blocked up, fulfilling the prophecy from Isaiah. And this is why they can't understand that the Son of Man that they are speaking to is indeed the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed and chosen one. But as the Christmas carol proclaims, Jesus has come to raise the sons of earth. He has come to give us second birth, to make us children of the light in God's new day, where we were once children of the dark and children of wrath. For only by the perfect death of Jesus can we have hope of eternal life. And we are called as his people to place our faith, our hope, and our love in the one who was lifted high for our sake, who died, was buried, and rose again. We are called to deny ourselves, pick up our own crosses, and follow after our Lord. We are called to show them Jesus. But look at the context that we live in, my friends, in the day of age that we live in. We abide in a culture that is hostile towards the Christian message. We dwell in a culture that denies the very power of the cross. Our culture is growing more antagonistic towards us because we follow the Lamb of God. Just turn on the TV and you will see Christians mocked on shows like The View. Or what people fear would become of society if Christians were in power, such as in The Handmaid's Tale. This is what the world thinks of us, that we're fools, that we're imbeciles. And we are. Fools for Christ, anyway. It doesn't matter what they think of us. We are to show them Jesus. We are to show them the power of the cross of Christ. Though we are in the world, we are certainly not of it. We are a sign, a foretaste, and an instrument of God's unshakable kingdom that has invaded into this world already, even though we await for the consummation to come, because Jesus Christ makes all things new, and he is on his way to us. Make no mistake. My friends, we are ambassadors of Christ. And this is why we must not bow down to the God of the American dream, of acquiring more and more stuff and wealth. If you want an image for the American dream, go no further than Smaug the dragon in The Hobbit, a being that collected treasures and hoarded them. The God of this country is the American dream, and it is contrary to our Lord, who humbled himself and emptied out himself on the hardwood of the cross. It is contrary to what the Lord has commanded us, you and I, as his followers. The world desires a God of pomp and power and prestige. And guess what? Jesus rode a donkey. He was flogged and beaten and spit upon. He was stripped of his clothing and he was mocked. And he carried the cross up the Via Dolorosa. That's right. The road to Calvary was uphill. And that always gets me. The way of the cross is not an easy one. It is death to self. It is the laying down of your life. But Jesus is with us by the power and the presence of the Spirit of the living God. And when we stumble on the way, and we will stumble because we're not perfect, the Lord picks us back up so that we may walk in his footsteps once more. And the way of the cross is a walk of humility. It is a walk of submission. It is a walk of pouring out your life as a drink offering, as a living sacrifice. And this is how we show them Jesus. Today you may be wondering how your life reveals Jesus. Are you a bright, burning blaze on fire for the Lord? Or are you a pilot light? I've been both. I have. But the older I get, the more I want people to see Jesus Christ in me. And there is an urgency for people to see and hear the message about the power of the cross, of a life humbled, emptied, and poured out for God. We should all want people to see Jesus in us and to be drawn to him. If this is indeed our desire, first we must start with prayer. For in prayer our hearts and minds are changed and conformed to the will of our Lord. We should earnestly seek the fruit of the Spirit, what our little ones are learning right now. The fruit of the Spirit that we can grow into maturity and that our lives resemble that of Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is something we really need in America. The fruit of the Spirit is contrary to the fruit of American culture, by the way. We should fervently pray that it be evident in our lives so that we can show them Jesus. Secondly, we must deny the desert voices of appetite, affirmation, and ambition that call out to us and tempt us. We must put to death the desires of the flesh. For as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have come not to do our own will, but rather him who sent us. Just like our Lord, we have to put on Christ and Christ in us, and we are in him. That is the mystery of our union. And therefore, that is why we have to crucify the flesh. Deny the old man. For you and I are new creations. Finally, never, 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 never give up. Having just flown back from the other side of the world, I finally got to watch The Darkest Hour about Sir Winston Churchill on the plane, and I loved it. The amount of perseverance he had to have was remarkable. Many people, many forces were against him. And we must have amazing resolve as well, because our race is not a short one. It is for the long haul. And we must never, never, never give up. We must never let our foot off of the gas pedal. We must set our eyes on the prize. For the race of faith must be finished. And when at last we cross that finish line, when at last we cross it, our very lives will bear witness to the power of Christ Jesus our Lord and his glorious resurrection. So show the world Jesus Christ, my friends. Show them Jesus in failures and successes. Show them Jesus in sickness and in health. Show them Jesus until your last breath. For Jesus said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." Not just the Jew, but the Greek as well. May we all lift him high and show them Jesus. Let us pray. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.